believers in Christ listening. If you want God to bless you, if you want Him to prosper you, pay your tithe, give offering to God. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. Don't delay your tithe. Sow more sparingly. The same way you sow, you will surely reap. The Holy Bible makes it a must for every true believer to pay his tithe to God regularly. Oh yes, it is a must for every true child of God to give bountiful offering to God regularly. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 8 says we must bring all the tithes to the house of the Lord and good offerings, so that the curse of God will not come upon our lives. Due portion of our income. Malachi also makes a promise from verse 10 of chapter 3 that if we bring our tithes and thus prove God, surely He will open windows of heaven to us and pour so much blessing upon us to make us great. Holy people have been paying tithes before the law of Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and many more. This is a great secret of the abundant wealth, and by this they lay good example today. The Lord Jesus says about tithing, "This ye supposed to have done, but ye supposed not to neglect other requirements of God." Thus He established the fact that tithe and offering are compulsory even today. We're actually talking to ourselves through this song. Do it well. In Christ listening, if you want God to bless you, if you want Him to prosper you, pay your tithe, give offering to God. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. Don't delay your tithe, so not sparingly. The same way you sow, you will surely reap. The same way you sow, you will surely reap. The Holy Bible makes it a must for every true believer to pay his tithe to God regularly. Oh yes, it is a must for every true child of God to give bountiful offering to God regularly. Believers in Christ, listen. If you want God to bless you, if you want Him to prosper you, pay your tithe, give offering to God. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. Don't delay your tithe,
Son has finally isn't where you saw. You will surely reap this and where you saw. You will surely reap. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 8 says we must bring all the tithe to the house of the Lord and good offerings, so that the curse of God will not come upon our lives for robbing God of his due portion of our income. Believers in Christ, if you want God to bless you, if you want him to prosper you, pay your tithe, give offering to God. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. Don't delay your tithe, so not sparingly. This is where you sow, you will surely reap. This is where you sow, you will surely reap. Malachi also makes a promise from verse 10 of chapter 3 that if we bring our tithes and thus prove God, surely he will open windows of heaven to us and pour so much blessing upon us to make us great. Believers in Christ, listen. If you want God to bless you, if you want him to prosper you, pay your tithe, give offering to God. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. Don't delay your tithe, so not sparingly. The same way you sow, you will surely reap. The same way you sow, you will surely reap. Holy people have been paying tithe before the Lord of Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and many more. This is a great secret of their abundant wealth, and by this they laid good example for us today. Believers in Christ, listen. If you want God to bless you, if you want him to prosper you, pay your tithe, give offering to God. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. Don't delay your tithe, so not sparingly. This is where you sow, you will surely reap. This is where you sow, you will surely reap. The Lord Jesus says about tithing, this ye supposed to have done, but you supposed not to neglect other. Requirements of God, does he establish the fact that tithe and offering are compulsory even today? Believers in Christ, listen. If you want God to bless you, if you want him to prosper you, pay your tithe, give offering to God. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. Don't delay your tithe, so so transparently, the same way you sow, you will surely reap. The same way you sow, you will surely reap. Amen. Our God is great. Shall we stand up to pray? Actually, we are not starting the new series this morning as planned, because during the week I've been very, very busy because of the work going on in the church. I hope that I'll be able to get the book ready before the next Bible study, God willing. Nevertheless, we have very important study to do this morning. Let us talk to God. You are my God, O Lord. You are my God. You are my King, O Lord. You are my King. You are my today. You are my tomorrow. You are my forever. You are my tomorrow. You are my forever. Oh Lord, you are my God, oh Lord, you are my God, you are my King, oh Lord, you are my King, you are my today, you are my tomorrow, you are my forever, you are my tomorrow, you are my forever. We'll talk to God this morning. Minister to me. Talk to my heart. May I not hear your word in vain. Let me receive something new today that will benefit me the remaining days of my life. Talk to God.
Shall we pray? It is so clear that you are dealing with us as children, your own children. You want us to enjoy the very best in life, and everything that will make that possible, you have put in place. Omnipotent Lord, who is like unto you? Who is as glorious as you are? Who is as good as you are? Who is as great as you are? Who is as loving as you are? Who is as compassionate as you are? Who is as reliable as you are? Father, you are very trustworthy. We are not the one who sought for you. You are the one who sought for us. You call us son before we call you father. Thank you, our Father. It is our prayer today that you please give us the enablement to cooperate with you for the well-being of our lives. Everything you say, give us the grace to believe. Give us the grace to do exactly what you want us to do, so that your desire for our lives will come to fulfillment. Father, may we not hear the message of today in vain. Let it do your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Brothers and sisters, not everything in the Bible is sweet to the hearing of man. In fact, we have some sayings in the Bible that you will read and say, ah, God forbid. They are there. But you need to understand that everything you have in the Bible, God caused to be written. Let me tell you. God is not the one who said everything written in the Bible. The Bible is totally different from other religious books. You have so many religious books that from the very first letter to the last letter they contain, the understanding of some religionists is that God said everything.
The Bible contains the word of God, primarily. It also contains the word of good men. If you search the Bible very well, you will see the word of angels of God. You also have the word of Satan, that of demons, that of evil men, as well as that of good men. And that is why when you are reading your Bible, you want to know who say what. You want to know why it is said. And you also want to know to whom this saying is applicable. This is one of the reasons why we have teachers in the church who are expected to explain to us whatever we cannot understand what the word of God is saying. No, I'm not trying to make a distinction between the clergy and the laity, as it is often done in some places. We are all servants of God if truly we are children of God. In fact, my conclusion is that if you are not a servant of God, you are an enemy of God. If you are a child of God, he has already called you to do something for him. Every part of the church is having a part to play. Nevertheless, some are given the anointing of teaching, who are expected to teach others. Just like some are given the anointing of pastoring, and so on and so forth. Brothers and sisters, there is a saying in the Bible you need to understand. And the way I'm seeing us, especially in a church like this, we seem not to give serious attention to that saying. When I say go to Malachi chapter 3, I know you will say, I already know it. Oh, I wish you know it. Malachi chapter 3, the place we are going is verse 9. It's such an unpalatable saying of God. It's not too sweet to the hearing. But whether sweet or bitter, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is one of such words that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I read verse 9 of Malachi chapter 3. Ye are caused with a cause, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Take note of the word nation there, that is in the singular form. Not all nations. He meant a particular nation. Brothers and sisters, you know it. Tell me, which nation was that? I can't hear you. Nation of Israel. Why was Israel caused with a cause? That day Israel was the only nation that acknowledged God as the owner of the universe. All other nations worship lifeless adults, idols. Israel was the only nation that knew God as God. And we read from there that the whole nation of God, Israel, was under a curse at that time. Brothers and sisters, their problem was that they robbed God. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? That was their question. As the man of God Malachi was ministering to them. Do I need to remind you that Malachi was one of the last three prophets of the Old Testament? Oh, you already see that in the Bible. But there is something more to that. Amen. These last three prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, were the ministers of God who ministered to the children of Israel after they returned from captivity. Haggai told them that they needed to go and build the house of God. 2 years after they returned from captivity, after the decree of Cyrus, Israel had not built the temple. Then God began to punish them for not building the temple. Malachi came and said, these people have not been paying their tithes. Then he began to pronounce the judgment of God. Not only on the members, even the sons of Aaron, the prophets. He said they were polluting his altar because they were offering abominable things on his altar. Even those who came to the house of God to make pledges, to vow. God, if you do this for me, I will do this. If you do this for me, I will do this. God said it was too great for the kind of things most of them were offering him. He said, woe unto that fellow who had a male in his flock, but foweth and sacrificeth abominable thing to God. He said, if you say, I'm a father, where is my honor? If you say, I am a master, I deserve some respect. What you have brought to me, take it to your governor and see if he will accept your offering. He said the one who offered him wrong thing was actually deceiving himself. Prophet Malachi began to condemn them for the way they handled the things of God. Then they came to a point and asked Malachi, come on, God, can a man rob God? Malachi answered them, God says you have robbed me through tithe and offering. I am limiting myself to tithe today. And the title of my message is How to Overcome the Curse of Not Paying Tithe. Bi ati nsegun egun aisan idamewa. Tithe has been one of the fundamental instruments for providing for the work of God. In Genesis chapter 14, we saw how the patriarch Abraham paid his tithe to Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a type of the Son of God that was to come. We are told that Melchizedek received the tithe and blessed Abraham. We further read about how other Old Testament patriarchs gave one tenth of their income to God. Among them was Jacob, who later became Israel. When he was going to Haran, he promised God that if God would take him there and bring him back safely, one tenth of all his income he would give to God. When the children of Israel returned from captivity, Nehemiah was told that all the Levites had left their duty posts and went to the countryside to farm and take care of themselves. And thus, the house of God, the work of God, was neglected. He tried to find out the cause of this. He was told that the children of Israel have not been faithful to tithe paying. And because of that, the Levites had nothing to take care of themselves. They left the house of God and went their way. Nehemiah shouted on the people and made them to promise that they will pay their tithes. Brothers and sisters, the Pharisees, we are told, were so serious when it comes to paying the tithe of little things. Some people even use their case to suggest that payment of tithe is unnecessary under the new covenant. But our Lord, the Master himself, said something in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint, of anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. This ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Brothers and sisters, if we want to be honest with ourselves and do justice to this scripture, we will see that the Master himself said that the things the Pharisees left undone, mercy, judgment, and so on, were weightier than what? Than what? I can't hear you. Than tithing. Now, in English, before you get weightier, what do you get? Weighty. That was a way of saying that tithing was weighty. Judgment, mercy were what? Weightier. There are those who take that word weightier to suggest that tithe is light. Mm-mm. If he had said that ye ought to have done and not to leave the weighty part of the law undone, or the weighty part of the law undone, it will suggest that tithe is light. But it says these other things were weightier. We suggested that tithing was weighty. And that was from the Lord himself. He said, this ye ought to have done. What does that suggest? The payment of the tithe of little things. Little things, vegetable, aromatic and material, things you use to make your cooking sweet. You pay the tithe of all these little things, Pharisees. And you don't know how to handle some important things of the law. But the master, so that nobody will misunderstand what he said, come on. This you ought to have done. These things you are doing, you ought to do it. But the ones you are not doing, you shouldn't have left undone. That was the master's way of telling us that payment of tithe was okay. Brothers and sisters, Moses told the Israelites how the tithes were to be paid. In chapter 27, verse 30, we are told, and I would 27 verse 30 I'm supposed to read, and if it be of an can you pardon me, I was reading the wrong place. 30 now, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it is not a gift. Look at me, everybody. Tithe is different from offering. Offering is a gift that we give to God. How much we give depends on how much of the goodness we have of God we have enjoyed, and how much of the love of God we have in our heart, and how much we desire the work of God to progress. But when it comes to tithe, it is a debt we pay to God. Some Christians never accepted that idea. And that is why they cannot pay their tithes regularly and promptly. They take tithing to mean something they give to God when they like to give. But I want to prove it to you today that God does not see himself being specially benefited when the tithe is paid. He sees himself as a collector of what belongs to him. Your employer is not doing you any special favor by paying your salary at the end of the month. It is his responsibility to pay you, because he's even paying you in arrears. You have labored for him for between 30 and 31 days, and you are now entitled to a wages. When it's time for him to pay you, you can say, thank you, sir, it's okay. But in your heart, you know, this is your right. Is he going to terminate your appointment because of that? Fine. But at least the one you have done, you are entitled to get your wages. That is the way God sees himself when it comes to tithing. You say, what work has he done for which I have to pay? Hey, Yoruba man will say, Olamide Omoririe. No, the meaning of that literally is, may you not appreciate it. But that's not a good prayer in English. But Yoruba man understands when you say Olamide Omoririe, because you only appreciate it when it is no longer there, when the services are no longer rendered, when the opportunities are no longer given to you. It is then you know the importance. You don't appreciate anything until you lose it. Brothers and sisters, God sees himself as a co-worker with his people, and therefore a co-earner of whatever they earn through their labor. I repeat, God sees himself as a co-worker of his people, and therefore as a co-earner of whatever income they earn. His program, his arrangement is that one tenth of whatever a child of God makes from whatever type of business he engages himself in should be given to him. There are those who have excuses. They say, I have not paid my tithe because I have not got money. God is not demanding tithe from any money that has not reached your hand. You work for somebody, the person is here to pay you. God is not demanding for tithe. You don't need to say, I'm sorry, I have not paid. You are not owing anything yet. You have to collect salary, your employer refuses to pay your salary. You don't have to say sorry to God. You are not owing God yet. Is you work for somebody who's supposed to pay you 20,000 and he pays you just 5,000. God is demanding his tithe from 5,000 and not from 20,000. So you don't have to say sorry for not paying the tithe of 20,000. The one that has reached your hand, he says, give me my own. Then when you refuse to give it, he takes you for a robber. And take note that a robber is more of a thief than a burglar. Am I correct? A burglar is more of a thief than a pickpocket. A pickpocket is more of a thief than a small child that eats from his, that steals meat from his mother's pot. To be a robber is so bad. And it calls everyone that have refused to pay tithe as a robber. It's like you rob at gunpoint. Not a few of believers are doing themselves serious efforts by not being faithful in tithing. It is not that such believers are going to be cursed. God says they are already living under his curse. Malachi chapter 3 says in verse 9, ye are cursed. Take note of the word cursed. It is in the past tense. It is something that has happened. It's not something that is still going to happen. Ye are cursed with a curse. A curse. A curse. There are different types of curses. There are curses that cannot affect children of God. Let all the unbelievers in this world go to the highest mountain anywhere, go to the greatest shrine anywhere to curse a child of God. It will be of no effect. But the curse this passage is talking about, it is the curse of God himself. Ye are cursed with a curse. I took a dictionary and tried to look for the meaning of the word curse. And I discovered that many Hebrew and Greek words are translated curse in the Bible. But this one seems to be more terrible than most of the curses that the Bible talks about. Ye are cursed with a curse. Even this whole nation. This is a way of saying that no one is excluded. Once for any reason you are not faithful in tithe paying, you are cursed. The Bible does not say you will be cursed. It says you are already under the curse. No wonder we cry and cry in our prayers and it seems God is not listening. Sometimes we wonder if prayers are still answered the way they were answered in the Bible days. Not knowing that it is the divine curse that is on our heads. Brothers and sisters, when God curses a man, who can remove the curse? A pastor, a preacher, a man of God, can a juju man do it? When God puts a curse on a man, the only one that can remove the curse is God himself. Now, God is going to remove the curse when you remove what brought the curse into your life. Ye are cursed with a curse. He said the whole nation, which means that no one is excluded. Everyone that finds himself under such a problem is under the divine curse. And I'm saying to you this morning that if for any reason you have not been faithful to tithing, the Bible says you are cursed with a curse. It is true that not every believer who are not faithful to tithing are deliberately refusing to pay. Some really wanted to pay. They plan to pay. But along the way, unforeseen situations made it impossible for them to pay. Some procrastinate. They said, I will pay at so-so time. When it's time to pay, they just discovered that they couldn't pay. There were those who forgot. And because of that, they were unable to pay. But do you know the problem we have at hand? It is the fact that whatever makes one to eat God's part of one's income along with his own, as already, take note, as already, I do not say will, I said as already, brought such a one under the curse of God. You have any explanation, you have any excuse, give it to the curse. Because God is not going to listen. He's not demanding the tithe of what you have not got. The demand is from that which you have received. You know what? God sees himself to be so important to the extent that when it's time for you to pay him the tithe, you give no excuse but you pay. Oh Lord, the money I've made is not even enough to take care of all my needs. God says, I am the supplier of your needs. Take care of my own first. This is what God expects. Then when we say, oh, I'm sorry, I won't be able to do it. Heaven says, I'm sorry, I won't be able to prevent the curse from coming upon you. It is a terrible thing for one to live under any form of curse. Just like we have examples of divine blessings in the Bible, we also have the examples of divine curses. Brothers and sisters, I have a question to ask. Amen. Please, don't answer unless you understand. If you don't understand, don't answer. But if you understand, you must answer. Get it right. If you don't understand, be quiet, don't answer. But once you understand the question, it is compulsory for you to answer and answer correctly. The question is, you have ever been blessed by God? God blessed you, and at that time you knew it was from God. At any time in your life, God bless you, and you knew it was God that blessed you at that time. Raise your hand. At any time, God blessed you, and you knew it was God that blessed you at such a time. Raise your hand. Raise it high. Say, I am blessed by God. May you remain blessed in Jesus' name. But look at me, everybody. I don't have to preach what you like to hear. I have to preach what the Word of God says. If God ever blesses you and you enjoy the blessing, when he curses you, you will suffer the curse. I repeat, if at any time God bless you and you enjoy the blessing, if he curses you, you will surely suffer it. Just as no wish, no wizard, no evil man can force the blessing of God out of your life. No pastor, no preacher, no nothing can remove the curse of God from your head once it is released. And I'm sorry to say, very many of us are currently under such curses. Are we going to remain there or we are going to come out? It seems our method of doing things in the church actually supported these curses. Somebody met me the other day after a meeting where I said something about this problem of not tithing. I said, sir, in our church here, you cannot stay here for 2 weeks and not hear something about salvation. I said, yes, sir. He said, if you have not been repeating salvation like that, most people wouldn't have been saved. I said, yes, sir. He said, but you are not helping us by not talking often about tithe. And in my heart, I said, God forgive. My understanding is that once you are told, you already know your responsibility and you do it. But I made a research among the workers the other day, and what I saw surprised me. I don't know that God has become so unimportant, that God has become so small, that God has become so unreliable, so unfaithful, that we can just deny him of the tithe and feel that nothing will happen. There are those who think that the tithe they pay, they give it to pastor. Abraham actually gave his own to Melchizedek. He put it to the hand of Melchizedek, and yet he thought he was giving it to God. The children of Israel were expected to give it to the Levite, and yet they will know they gave it to God. The Levite were expected to give it to the sons of Aaron, and yet they should regard it as being given to God. Even in this church, we do not take it directly from you. You don't give it to me. You put it in a box. And there are people in charge who go there and take the money. And most of the money are spent on the various projects, when in reality they are to take care of the ministers primarily. Nevertheless, so many Christians will not pay. Do you know that there are some foolish Christians who will have need and will come to pastor thinking that the tithe will be released to them? Oh no, I understand that in the Bible days, that part of the tithe was shared with the widows, with the fatherless, with the destitute, and the rest of them. You need to get your Bible well. There are three different types of tithes that the Israelites pay, making it to be 30% of their income that goes for tithes. Tithe number one was the one that is paid to the Levites, the ministers. The Levites divide that to 10 and give one part to the priests, who in turn will divide it to 10 and give one part to the high priest. That is tithe number one in Israel. Tithe number two was the one you will take to the house of God. You prepare it, another tithe now. You can bring it in form of materials. You can change it to money, the Bible says. Then you head to Jerusalem with it. When you get to Jerusalem, you buy whatever you like and eat it during the period of the feast in the presence of God. The provision God was making through that was like when we have our confab. You are coming to the confab. You are expected to take one-tenth of your total income for the year, bring it to the confab, and that becomes your supply. You are able to eat. Those who don't have supplies, you are able to give to them and feel good in the presence of God. Then you return home without complaining. Do you know that the third tithe was the one you will eat in your own house, along with the widows, even the Levites again, the destitutes, the people in need, and so on and so forth. You say, ah, God is taking all the money. He gave all the money. You say, what do we do about that today? I do not see any special emphasis on the rest too in the New Testament, except that we are expected to be kind to people. We are expected to be generous. We are expected to assist people. The emphasis today is on at least one tithe, one-tenth of the income. And that is where all these curses come, that particular one that we are expected to bring to the house of God. The Bible says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and put me herewith, said the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you will not have room enough to receive it. It promises to rebuild the devourers on your behalf. Don't forget, my topic is how to overcome the curses of not paying tithes. How to overcome these curses. But you will not try to overcome it unless you know why you must endeavor to overcome it. Brothers and sisters, it is a terrible thing to live under any curse. I told you that just as we have examples of divine blessings in the Bible, we also have the examples of divine curses. Do you know the problem with us? Most of the time we take the good part of the Bible, the blessing part of the Bible, we read it to ourselves and feel good. Then we claim the promises, not trying to see the other side. We are too positive. We do not remember that if the negative wire is not there, the fan will not blow air. This microphone will not work if the negative wire is not in place. We need both the positive and the negative things in the Bible to be balanced as children of God, as Christians. Brothers and sisters, let me go to the same book of Malachi and read something to you from chapter 2. I'm reading verses 2 and 3. And it goes thus. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, said the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. Who will send a curse to them? I can't hear you. Ah, people, those of you there, who will send a curse to them? Is it God of heaven and earth? Let me ask you a question. Can God send a curse to somebody? I can't hear you, people. Can God send a curse to somebody?
to send a curse to the children of Israel? I ask you the question. Can God send a curse to a child of his? Can God send a curse to a child of God? You know, if I started my sermon today with that question, you would have said no, most of us. And that is why we have the Bible to study. You know what? We just have to adjust our lives to agree with the Bible. We cannot adjust the Bible to agree with our lives. We don't adjust the Bible to agree with our suppositions, with our ideas, with our theories, with our thinking. We have to adjust our lives to agree with the Bible. If you are a child of God and you are not paying your tithe, God can send you a curse. If he says you are already under the curse, you have seen it here. God said he will send the children of Israel a curse because they did not give him his due honor. Oh, I read it again, verse 2. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, said the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Hey, what will he curse? I can't hear you. Huh? I am blessing the morning. Oh, how do you sing the song? Abraham blessings are mine. Tithe is not mine. I am blessing the morning. I am blessing the evening. Though I will not pay my tithe. The Bible says, God says, I will curse your blessing. You don't know the meaning. Somebody is blessing himself and God is cursing that blessing. A lot of people come to church when it's time for prayer. Oh Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. We sing it in our song. We say it in our prayer. We dance it before God. Bless me, bless me. But heaven says, I will curse your blessing. Say, it will not curse my blessing. Because I will do his will. I will obey his word. I'm not going to treat him like a dog. God is not a beggar. Hallelujah. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. Oh my God. God said he will corrupt their seed. Come on, everybody. Praise the Lord. The other day I was using the computer and Nepal Light was doing this and that. I've opened a lot of packages, many Bible packages, editor, this and that. I've opened so many things. For those of you who are computer literate. Then it got to a point that the light began to do this and that. By the time I came back, he told me that so-and-so file is missing or corrupted. And therefore it cannot be opened. When you are told that by whatever window you are using, call it 95, call it 98, call it SP, call it Millennium, call it anything you like. Once you are told that, it won't allow you to do the work you want to do. Because it is corrupted. You didn't go in there, but it says it is corrupted. I kept on asking myself, what has corrupted it? Nepal? God said, I will corrupt your seed. You don't know the meaning. You don't have to go there to the farm and do anything to read. God corrupts the seed you plant. When the seed you plant is corrupted, what do you have when you are to harvest? Come on. Nothing good. May your seed not be corrupted. You know what God says? I will spread dung upon your faces. Ah, I hate that one. Oh, Lord, my dear, oh, Jesus, I know me. I will spread dung. I'm sure you know what is called dung there. It bear, excreta, feces upon your faces. In fact, when I read it, I asked myself the question, what is God going to achieve through that? Spreading bear on people's face. What will it do? Then you know what came to my heart, and I think it was the Spirit of God that gave it to me. Brothers and sisters, if you come to seek my favor and your face is full of feces, will I receive you? Huh? I say, oh, come, you're my brother. Let me kiss you. With dung. Pray is not the time I am eating. I say, okay, go along, go along. Stay there, stay there. You know what that means? Your face becomes so bad in the sight of those who have done you favor, that they will drive you away instead of showing you favor. Because God has cursed you with a curse. Some people wonder why they go for the interview and they could not enjoy favor.
Some people wonder why they go for the contract and it is given to somebody else. Some people wonder why they want to sit for the exam and at the end of the day, no good result. Because God is covering your face with dung. If it is done by the devil, you will pray to God to remove it. When it is done by God, your own father, who do you pray to? You say, Pastor, what do you want to achieve? I want everyone that have not been faithful to tithing to change. When? Today. Whatever it will take from you to change, you change and start immediately. If we say because we want to emphasize holiness, we leave you to pay when you like, and when you don't like, you don't pay as we have been doing. Yes, I'm not going to make a card and force you to pay. The only weapon I will use is this preaching weapon. I preach it to you. I make it as strong as I preach sanctification, holiness. Nevertheless, I'm not coming with cards. I'm not coming with special bags. I'm not using any trick to make you pay. I will emphasize it and I will preach it. I don't know how many times I will preach it, but I preach it again and again and again until you will change and you begin to pay and the curse of God will be removed from your head. The dung on your face will be cleared. Then you begin to enjoy favor. You're supposed to enjoy more favor than you are enjoying, but God has covered your face with it, bear. Am I still communicating? Brothers and sisters, Joshua chapter 7. I said just as we have examples of divine blessings in the Bible, we also have examples of divine curse in the Bible. Look at Joshua chapter 7. I'm reading verse 12. And it says, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Look at me. The Bible says the nation of Israel that had been victorious, conquering all the nations they met on the way, suddenly became so feeble, so weak, that they could not stand in the presence of their enemies. The Bible said the reason why they were unable to stand in the presence of their enemies was because they were accursed. Heaven had cursed them. Then God said, no, I will not fight with you again. I won't go with you again. I pray that God will go with you tomorrow when you are going to walk. If you go alone, you will fail. Tell your neighbor, he just has to go with you. Tell your neighbor. He just has to go with you. Tell your neighbor, you cannot do without him. Tell your neighbor, if he doesn't go with you, you will surely fail. I pray you will not fail in Jesus' name. God, officer, I will not go with you again. Go alone. Go and climb the pole like you have been climbing it. It is then you will know I have been holding you there. Go and dig the pit and jump in it as you have been doing. You will then know who have been holding the sand not to fall on your head. Go ahead and meet the council. Go ahead and meet the board. Go ahead and meet the people. Go ahead and meet the manager like you have been doing. It is then you will know that I was the one that has been granting you favor. Now I've covered your face with dung. Agai is such a wonderful prophet of the Bible. One of the very last three prophets of Israel. He was a post-exilic prophet. And he told the children of Israel the need for them to go to the mountains and get beams and build the house of God. Oh no. He told them how foolish they had been. He told them how the curses of God had been eating deep into their lives and destroying their resources. I go to the book of Haggai chapter 1. Let's read together verses 6 to 12. And this is what it says. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ha, brothers and sisters, when a person is under divine curse, that is one of the results. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And ye that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Who made the holes in their bags? God himself. He said that is where some people are dropping the salaries they are receiving. Verse 7. Thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, said the Lord. Ye look for much. Hear it again. The result of the curse of God on their heads. Ye look for much. And lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow on it.
Why? Said the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew. Hey, heaven is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. You can see how far God can go when it comes to cursing people that are supposed to be called. And I've shown you that it is not only the enemies of God that are caused. When the children of God bring themselves to a condition, to a position whereby they will be caused, the Bible says they will be caused. We often read Deuteronomy chapter 14, or rather chapter 28, verses 1 to 14. Whenever we are dealing with any important thing such as childbearing, or rather child naming, such as a wedding, and so on and so forth, we don't bother to read the rest of the chapter. If you look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, you will see that it contains 68 verses. Everybody says 68 verses. I cannot hear you. 68 verses. Do you take note that 56 of these verses are curses? Only 14 verses are blessing. Now, I'm not going to read the whole of it. Let me just give you a sample of what it means when you are under divine curse. Verses 15 to 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. I don't need to tell you not to say amen. I'm so sure you will not bother to say amen. Amen will not be too good for a thing like this. Nevertheless, hear it. I start from verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I commanded this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cause shall thou be in the city, and cause shall thou be in the field. Cause shall be thy basket and thy store. Cause shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cause shall thou be when thou comest in, and cause shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doing, whereby thou hast forsaken. No. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. I said that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, to free ourselves from these divine curses, what do we do? Malachi chapter 3. Oh. It's only that the time is short, I'm trying to rush it. Let me quickly add this before I continue, before I go to Malachi chapter 3. Do you know that from those passages we read, divine curses can come in whatever form? Are you there, everybody? Divine curses can come in whatever form. Do you know that it can come in the form of accident? The accident that wouldn't have come your way suddenly becomes your portion. And you cry, Jesus, 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 and you were assisted. Nevertheless, with a broken arm. And for a period of time, you cannot go about your business. You thank God for sparing your life. You go to the hospital. The tithe you could not pay to God, you pay triple of it, more than that, to the doctors to take care of yourself. You are under a curse. I do not say that everybody that ever had an accident was under a curse, but what I'm saying is that sometimes the curse we are talking about can come in the form of accident. Do you know that it can come also in the form of money-consuming sicknesses and diseases? All of a sudden, something begins to beat conga on your head. And you wonder, where does this come from? You go from one doctor to the other and spend a lot of money trying to take care of your body. At the end of the day, you are delivered. You say, thank you, Jesus. You give testimony. It's so wonderful that God has delivered you. But do you know that the sickness could have been averted if you had been faithful to God? It could be part of the curses that is coming on your head for your refusal to be faithful to God. The curse can come in the form of loss of valuable properties, valuable belongings. Look at yourself in the middle of the market, and by the time you give your hand to your pocket, the money is gone. How much has been removed from your pocket? It's much more than what you should have paid as your tithe. If you refuse to give God one tenth, the
the devil will take 90% from you. Surely, 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 you cannot rob God of your tithe and not suffer the consequence. Nothing, nothing, nothing can free you from the suffering of the consequence. Do you know that it may come in the form of loss of sources of income? Suddenly, the source is blocked. And income refuses to come anymore to your life. Why? Because you have not been faithful to God. The ones you did with God, you have not given God his share. Brothers and sisters, to escape divine curse of not paying tithe, Malachi has a wonderful counsel. Oh, brothers and sisters, after he said the nation was cursed, he came to verse 10 and said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. 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 You know what? That was a way of saying there was hope for them. You've not been faithful to tithing before today. And this message has come to you as a provocation, as a challenge. And you are thinking, what you will do to rescue yourself from the curse? There is hope for you. You know what the scripture says? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now here, we said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know what? And I will rebuild the devourer for your sins. Whatever has been devouring your income, whatever has been devouring your substance, whatever has been devouring your property, God says, I will rebuke it. He will rebuke it when you repent. Because if you repent, it will repent. If you change and begin to do well, it will change and begin to do you good. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He says, I will rebuild the devourer for your sins, and it shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast out fruit before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts. How many of us will agree with that? How many of you will agree with that? This is the word of the Lord. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse. Change today. Change. Bring all the tithes. There are some who are paying part of their tithes, and they think they are deceiving God. When your employer is paying you, in most cases, they give you what is called pay slip. In the pay slip, you are told what is the total remuneration that is your due, which include your main salary and the various allowances. Then they come to what they have assisted you to spend. We have assisted you to pay this because of the car loan you took then. You've been enjoying the car, so pay. We have assisted you to pay. We have assisted you to pay this to the cooperative, whatever you are having in that place. The money is still your money. You will get it later, later. Such spendings, they write them there for you. When you have to pay your tithe, where do you get the tithe from? Huh? From the whole package, the total amount you are paid. There are those who collect salary and they still have some petty businesses they do, through which they make income. Do you know what they do to deceive themselves? They pay the tithe of the salary. The gain they made from the businesses they do, they don't bother to pay the tithe of that. The Bible says you should pay the tithe of all. Bring all the tithe. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Brothers and sisters, you are not being wise when you refuse to pay your tithe. You are playing the game of stupidity, the game of foolishness. You are bringing the wrath of your own father upon your head. There is no God you can pray to liberate you from such a cause. If you will repent today, God will show you his favor once again. I have warned you to pray. I'm coming to the altar today in the name of Jesus Christ. Every brother here, every sister here who have discovered that he has not been faithful in tithing, and because of that, the wrath of God have been upon his head, and did not hear this sermon in vain, who have now decided, by the grace of God, I am starting from now, I will be faithful. I will pay promptly. I will pay completely. I will pay regularly. I'm going to change for better. Oh Lord, remove the dung from my face. Remove the dung from my face so that I can enjoy favor. Remove the curse from my head so that I can enjoy your blessing. Oh Lord, I am changing. I am changing, you can be sure. I am changing. I'm promising you by your grace. I am changing for better. I will start to pray from now onward. I am calling such people to the altar. If you are such a person, get up from your seat and come fastly. No, I don't want to make it a begging matter at all. Deliberately, I didn't allow people to close their eyes. I made it deliberately. If you have not been faithful in that area, and you want to change for better, you want God to remove the dung from your face and remove the curse from your head, get up from your seat and come. If you are coming, make haste and come.
Don't wait for your husband. Don't wait for your wife. Don't wait for a brother you know has not been faithful like you. This is your own matter. If you are coming, come to the presence of God and kneel down. Kneel down in the presence of God. Kneel down in the presence of God. And tell God, I am changing. Children, it concerns you. Do you have any income? Were you given anything by your uncle? Did you pay the tithe? Whatever that special gift mommy gave you when she was delighted in you and said, have this one. Not the regular money for food, money for transportation, but special gift. Do you pay the tithe? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and put me here with, say, the Lord of hosts. Oh, brothers and sisters, amen. Brother, can you stop the organ for a minute? Amen again. Everybody, stand up. Everybody, open your eyes, not those of you in the front. Look at me. Amen. Amen again. Those of you at the back are more than those who are in the front. Who belong to the group I'm describing. But I got your message. Pastor, you have done your own preaching. Leave me and my God. I'm not ready to change for now. It's okay for you. If that is your decision, it is okay for you. I have told you that all I have to do is to preach the message and leave you to God. But brothers and sisters, when you have been told the word of God, I will take step on the word of God. God forgives you of whatever error you have and then restore you to his favor. When you hear the word of God and say, I will change by and by, when your calamity comes as a wide wind, the Bible says you will call upon God and he will not answer. Before that day will come, once again, I call you to the altar. If you know, I know it's not everybody, but there are those of you that are still there. You know you have not, and you know we don't collect with card. You don't write your name. I'm not talking about something we share. But I know for sure that some of you are still there. You know you have not been faithful to tithing. There's nothing like I am a jobless person, I collect no salary, and therefore I have no tithe to pay. You are not asked to pay tithe from salary. You are asked to pay tithe from all income, everything that comes your way. If you know you are there and you have not been faithful, leave that your position and come to the front. Deliberately, I didn't allow people to close their eyes. So that if you want to respect God, you respect God. If you want to dishonor God, go ahead and dishonor God. If you belong to that group, today is the day. Oh, brothers and sisters in the front, open your eyes and look at me. I've just spoken to those people. Let me talk to you too. Don't come to mock yourself in the presence of God. God is no more. Brother, kneel down, I said. Kneel down. Kneel. Kneel. You're kneel on the ground. Aha. You are not going to mock yourself in the presence of God. God cannot be mocked. You are here promising God that you are changing. You are repenting. You begin to do the right thing. That is what you are saying, isn't it? Say it to God. I'm starting immediately. I won't rob you of your part of my income any longer. Remove the dung from my face. Cross from my head and release your blessing into my life so that it shall be well with me forever. Those of you at the back, you can start to pray that the grace will continue. Shall you say you are faithful? The grace will continue to be faithful so that nothing will rob you of this blessing of God. Nothing will make the curse of God to be on your head. That you continue to be faithful all the days of your life. Begin to talk to the Lord now. God is going to answer your prayer.
Whatever God says in his words, he means it. God has been going with you to everywhere you go. He has been protecting you, taking care of you, His eyes has been going with you. That is why you have been able to make all those successes. Now that you have been denied God of his own portion, he is also reducing his curses upon your life. Remember the disfavors you have been meeting. Remember the corrupt seed you have been sowing. Know what many businesses are crumbling. And yet we cry on God. Pray. God doesn't want you to be a vain talker. God wants you to talk to him once and he answers you once. Many useless fasting has gone without any result just because we've disobeyed simple commandment of God. It is time for you to talk now. Those of you at the back, please talk, pray to God also that you not fall into the temptation of not paying your own tithe. God is strict. When he is strict in blessing you, he is strict in cursing you as well. Whatever you do not have, he doesn't want you to pay. But what you have got, he expects you to pay the tithe of it. Some have been paying half, some just a little part of their tithes, whereas God expects the full. Somebody have not been paying tithe, which is a command of God, which is the portion that belongs to God. How will you be able to give offering unto God? We only fool ourselves by not paying our tithe. You fool yourself, not God. Pray. Those who are praying, they are praying for themselves. Don't deceive yourself. Don't make yourself a vain worshiper. Why should unbelievers be prospering by your side and you calling the name of God, the child of God? Your business is going down. And yet you need and you pray. Is your prayer availing you anything? Search your ways. Search your heart and repent today. Pray. God is listening. He's listening. You can't live without the blessings of God. You can't do it alone. Tell God now. Don't be tired. This time you want to tell him. This is the only person that can answer your prayer. This is the only person that can do everything for you. Anybody less than God cannot do your problem, can solve your problem for you. Tell him now. When you are before him, tell him now. There's nothing hidden from him.
In Jesus' name we pray. Everlasting Father, We thank you this morning for your word that we have heard concerning the payment of tithe and offering. You are teaching us in order to bless our life here in this world. Father, we have heard your word and we are repenting and we are willing to change. The grace for us to change, Father, give it to us today in Jesus' name. So that this word of God that we have heard this morning shall not condemn us in our life in Jesus' name. God Almighty, what you want your children to be doing is to come before you and to continue to hear your word. When your word injure them and correct them and warn them and let them know that this is what they are supposed to do. When they hear it and they change and they decide to do the right thing, then it shall be well with them. But if they hear your word and they are not willing to change, you will promise that you will curse them. God Almighty, I pray this morning that your word we have heard this morning, the grace for us to change and to do the right thing so that it shall be well with us. Father, give us that grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we want to be obedient children, and that is why we are always coming to you. Anytime, any day we hear your word, the grace for us to understand your word, the grace for us to be able to go and practicalize what exactly you are telling us, Father, release it upon our life today in Jesus' name. God Almighty, as we want to go now, go with us in Jesus' name. God of heaven and earth, I pray that throughout the remaining part of this year and nay, all the rest of our life, whenever we are going out to do any work and to be able to prosper in life, Father, go with us and make us to do work that will be beneficial to our life, that will make you to bless our life so that it shall be well with us. Father, let this be our portion today in Jesus' name. God Almighty, we pray that every plan of the devil in order to make us to become disobedient children in our life, I destroy right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because I believe you have answered. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.